Book of Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We realize that this beatitude is from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is the greatest preacher preaching the greatest message ever. He's been preaching in Galilee and thousands have been saved and they're following Him. Jesus has the multitude set down and He sets as well and begins to preach to them His Word. And He's going to teach believers, new converts, about Christian character and Christian conduct. It's something that's very much needed in our churches, especially in these latter days. And I believe that these Beatitudes that begin the Sermon on the Mount are progressive steps of our Christian life. First of all, it's blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we know that that is to be bankrupt of ourself and dependent on Him. And then it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And that is that we mourn or we're broken over our sins, over the sins in our churches, over the sins of our society. And then thirdly, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we know that that means to take a humble and a lowly position that we might be teachable and that we might understand. And then we come to this one. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now that word blessed is wonderful to me because many people have translated that to mean happy. But it's more than happy. Happy is such a shallow word. It's based on circumstances and changes in your life. You may be happy today and unhappy tomorrow. But to be blessed, amen, is a deep inner abiding presence that only God can give. And too many of our churches and too many of our homes are living in a state of happiness and not in a state of blessedness. We need to be blessed. And that Greek word is the word makarios. So blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Number one this morning, I think about the thought, the appetite. What is the appetite? It is they which hunger and they which thirst after righteousness. Now, a good appetite indicates good health, right? If you have a good appetite, you're probably healthy. Some of us are more healthy than others. Likewise, if you have a poor appetite, it will indicate that you are in poor health or that something is wrong. Spiritually speaking, the same thing is true. If you're really saved, you ought to have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And you should have a good appetite for it. And if you do not have an appetite for the things of God, something is wrong in your life. Your spiritual appetite reveals the character of your life in which you now live. Many of you have an appetite for entertainment and amusement and recreation. And there's nothing wrong with those things in their place. But if your appetite is for amusement, entertainment, and recreation more than having an appetite for the things of God, something's wrong with your life. And I beg you this morning, Jesus, as the great physician, would look at you and say, you have an unhealthy appetite, and we need to make a change to your diet. Many folks have gone to see a doctor and he said, you got to cut out the bacon. You can't have no more of this or you can't have no more of that. You've been diagnosed with diabetes. You got sugar problems. You've got to change your appetite. God would have me to say to this church today that there are people in this room, people that are watching by internet, people that are listening by way of CD, that you need a change of appetite from the things of the world to the things of God. There is a thirst that no earthly stream can satisfy. There is a hunger no earthly meal could ever fulfill. The Christian ought to have an inner passion for the things of God. If it bothers you, what's been going on around here this morning, it makes you uncomfortable, you ought to examine your spiritual status this very moment today. The Greek word for hunger is the word paneo, which is a craving. It is a seeking with earnest desire for the things of God. It is the hunger of a man that is starving to death. The Greek word for the word thirst is the word dipseo. It is a craving that is born out of painful need. I wonder, have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever been hungering to the point you felt like you were just about ready to die? Now, this is the thirst of a man who's going to die if he can't get something to drink. The psalmist said in Psalm 42:1, speaking about the deer, he says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He said in Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory in thy sanctuary. You see, there's a hungering and thirsting. You and I get satisfied when we get saved. But this is not just speaking about salvation being a one-time thing. This means that after you get saved, you'll continue to hunger, you'll continue to thirst for the things of God. You see, this is written in the present active nominative tense. In other words, you'll continue to have a hunger and thirsting for the things of God. You may say, oh no, preacher, I got my one time to the altar and I'm satisfied. Well, I am too. But I have a longing to see the things of God in my life and in this church. It continues to drive me, a hungering and thirsting for the Lord to bless us. Now, there was a man who went to preach revival at a church, and he and the pastor went out to the steakhouse, and they met a man that was lost in the steakhouse line. I think it was a Quincy steakhouse years ago. And the sinner said, hey, preacher. And the preacher said, I'll introduce you to my friend. And said, this is evangelist. We got a revival this week. Would you come? He said, why are you Baptists always having those revival meetings? He said, because we're hungering and thirsting for the things of God. And he looked at that man and he said, why are you here tonight at the steakhouse? He said, because I'm hungry. He said, well, guess what? That's why we have revival, because we're hungry, wanting the things of God. And that man said, oh, yes, but when I get done eating today, I'll be satisfied. And the preacher looked at him and said, but guess what? About this time tomorrow, you're going to wish you had another steak from the Quincy Steakhouse. You're going to be hungry again for something else. And I say to you this morning, you and I as a church ought to start hungering and thirsting for the things of God. All day long, we ought to have an appetite for the things of God. You understand this morning that dead people aren't hungry. Dead people aren't thirsty. I was talking to the funeral home director and talking to him about starvation and what happens to the body when someone has starved themselves to death, and how the body, the muscles, and the body just completely breaks down. I thought about how somebody thirsts, and when dehydration comes, they can go into shock and they'll die from that because they've dehydrated themselves. I wonder, am I looking at somebody preaching to somebody today that you've had no appetite for the things of God whatsoever? No hunger, no thirst. You come one time a week and rush out of here, and that didn't help you a bit. And I don't know if you're mad at the preacher or mad at the church or mad at God or mad at the world. I don't know. But you ought to have a hunger for the things of God and a thirsting for the things of God. And if you don't, honey, you need to change your spiritual diet. You're going to starve to death and die. You're going to dehydrate and you're going to die. Somebody needs to get your attention. Even a baby, when a baby is born, has a desire for milk. I could take you over to Hebrews chapter 5 and read to you through verses 11 and 14 about... excuse me, about folks who desire milk and folks who desire meat from the Word of God. You know what milk is? It's pre-digested food. Even a baby has a hungering, a thirsting for milk. But as you mature as a Christian, you should have a hungering for the meat of the Word of God. Friend, I'm asking today, do you have an appetite for righteousness? What is the aim of our appetite? It is righteousness. Now, righteousness is a condition that is approved and that is acceptable to God. Righteousness is not based on what I think or what you think. It's based on what God says. Righteousness is integrity. It is virtue. It is purity. It is right and correct actions all the time. Therefore, you and I ought to hunger after personal holiness. Some people want to have just enough holiness that they might get respect from the church. That's not enough. Some people have what we call partial righteousness. I don't want partial righteousness. My desire is for complete righteousness. Oh, preacher, you'll never get there. You're right, I won't. But in Jesus, we can. And that's what we've got to get to. We've got to have a desire for complete righteousness. Number two, that should be the aim of our appetite for the things of God, for righteousness. Number three this morning, what is the abundance of our appetite? The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The only folks who are going to be filled with the righteousness, with the things of God, are those who are hungry for it, those who are looking for it. You know what? There's a lot of people sit down with me and say, Preacher Darren, I am unhappy with my spiritual condition. And I could talk to them and pray with them about it, and they express an interest in trying to change that. But that's all they do is talk about it. And we pray about it. They want to be interested. But I'm not just talking about piquing your interest. I'm talking about, are you involved actively in the things of God? Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Bible reading, praying, trying to visit some, trying to pray over needs in the community, trying to find a way to help people. Are you actively involved trying to help somewhere? I tell you what, if you don't correct the problems in your life, you're going to lose the promise of this blessing. God said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. To be filled is to be satisfied. It is to be full. Who is the source of our satisfaction? It's Jesus. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Who is this water of life? Jesus said in John 4:14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You see, the world says, if you are living as a Christian, you'll never have any fun. You'll be boring. I tell you what, the Christians are to be blamed for the problems of this world. Let me tell you what's caused the problems in the world. A lack of righteousness in men and women's life. You can't blame God for a lack of righteousness. It's because we don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. God made us a promise, if you'll hunger and thirst, I will fill you. If mankind had an appetite for righteousness, we would have better Christian conduct and character in our society. Our homes would be different. If you hungered and thirsted after righteousness in your marriage, you'd have a different marriage than you have right now. If you had it in your home, you'd have a different home than you have right now. If you had it in every church, our churches would be different. And that's what we need, amen. Let me say last of all, and I'll be done. Preacher, how do I change my diet? How do I, number four, acquire, or how do I advance my appetite for the things of God, for righteousness? Now, how am I going to grow in my desire? Well, how do you do when you eat chocolate cake, if that's what you like? I sing to somebody in the church here, she makes me chocolate cakes, and I sing to her almost every time she brings one. I love chocolate cake. And you know how I advance my appetite for chocolate cake? I ate more of it. Pretty simple, don't you think? I went to school to learn that, amen. How do you advance your appetite? You more frequently get involved with that. Amen? So this morning, how do we advance our appetite? How do we acquire it? Number one, study the Scriptures. He says in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You can be hungering and thirsting after righteousness by studying the Word of God. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me a joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." I was studying about a man named Alexander Duff. He and his new wife had just got married and went on their honeymoon, and they were involved in a shipwreck. And they swam to the coast of India, and they lost all their clothes and all their books. Mr. Duff had a library of 800 unique volumes that most of this world had never seen, and he lost his entire library. And as he was on the coast of India, sitting there with a pooch lip over everything he lost, when he ought to have been up praising God that the Lord spared his life, amen, he saw something floating on the water. And the waves were bringing it closer and closer to shore. And when it got close enough, he waded out and grabbed a hold of that package. He brought it back in and unwrapped it. And he said to his wife, "It's my Bible. That's my Bible that was on that ship that wrecked. And God has sent my Bible to me. Of all the volumes that I had that I treasured, my Bible I treasure more greatly than any other book that's ever been recorded that I've ever owned." He started reading to the people on shore the Word of God. They started getting saved. There were three children. We've had one saved this morning. Three children from the little Indian village that came down to see these people that had swam ashore. And he started reading to them the Word of God. And one man could speak their language and translate it. And three out of three got saved. By the end of the week, there were 300 villagers that got saved on the coast of India when Alexander Duff got shipwrecked and read the Word of God. Friend, if we'd hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll be filled when we figure out to study the Scriptures and read them and proclaim them and live them. God will change lives. Hallelujah. The second thing you can do is you can spend time at church. Spending time at church will increase your appetite for the things of God. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching." I want to ask you a question. Do you see the day of the Lord approaching? Is it closer now than it ever has been, or what? Then the more we ought to be in the house of God and around the things of God. Time at the house of God inspires us, yes it does, to be around Jesus. It rejuvenates us to get involved in the things of God. Time at the house of God is very valuable. But when you skip out, there's a tendency in your life to lose your appetite for the things of God. You miss one Wednesday, it'll be easy to miss the next Wednesday. And the next thing you know, you've missed a month, and 2 months, and 3 months has rolled by, and then you don't even miss it at all. You've lost your appetite for prayer meeting. I remember as a young boy growing up, my daddy dragging me to the house of God, and then getting that altar and pray. Hallelujah, I'm glad. My daddy didn't just tell me to be faithful. He taught me. What if you taught your children about faithfulness? You drop them off over yonder, and you go run around and do what you want to do. We're not your babysitting service. We're here to teach and train you and your family in the things of God. We need to study the Scriptures. We need to spend time at the house of God. Friend, I say to you, you know what? Being around the house of God, it stirs you a little bit. A lot of Christians is like hot chocolate. You mix a little of that dry stuff in, put a little water on them, it'll make hot chocolate. But it's always better when you stir it up a little. You know what needs to happen in our lives in this church? Maybe some of us just needs to get stirred up a little bit. We get stirred up a little bit about the things of God, we'd be a whole lot better off. Amen? I don't exactly know how to say this morning, but last week my hot water heater went out. And how can I define faithfulness to the house of God other than by my water heater? Man, it gave me a hot shower one out of every three times. I decided I'd get rid of that hot water heater. I was tired of being cold. And I got rid of it and replaced it. And boy, I've had hot showers all week long. Now I just stand extra time in the shower. I like it so good, I just frequent the shower. I just find a reason. I'm going to go take another shower. Hallelujah, just to check, see if it's still working. Huh? Lord of God, I'd like to come down here one Monday afternoon and find about 15 of you is gathered around back here saying, we just wanted to come see if the doors is open today, preacher. We'll see if maybe you might read to us a little. Amen. But no, I got to beg you to get you to come back on Wednesday or to come back on Sunday night. Something's wrong with your appetite. You'll eat three times a day. You'll eat three times tomorrow, but when it's time to eat spiritually, one's about all you can handle. Hey, man. Sir, what if your wife's car started one out of every three times? What would she say to you? It's time to get that car worked on, bless God. Huh? Yeah, what if her refrigerator worked one out of every 3 days? What's going to happen to your food? What's going to happen to your marriage if you say, oh, no, there ain't nothing wrong with that refrigerator. It's still working at least one time out of every three. Huh? She'll take a frying pan upside your head, get me a new refrigerator. Huh? And you'll do something about it. But you'll do more for your wife than you'll do for God. You'll do more for your husband than you'll do for God. God sent His Son to die for us that we might be saved from a devil's hell. We respond in obedience one out of every three times. We come to church one out of every three services. What's going to happen when your youngins bring home their report card and says, well, I got one out of every three right, Mom. That's pretty good. I hope you pat them on the head and say, oh, that's okay, darling. You've done the best you can. That's good. I'm so proud of you. No, it's not what you'll do. Ask God, you'll light that youngin up and say, you're going to pick them grades up. You're going to get closer to 100%. I know you can do better. Me and your daddy didn't teach you to act this way, is what you'll say, Mom. Huh? Mm-mm-mm. Next of all, what else can you do? You can shun distractions. Why shun distractions? There's some things, if I eat them, they make me sick. There's some things people could eat, they have allergic reaction. Eat peanut butter, have a reaction. Shellfish, you have a reaction. Hey, if you're having a reaction to the preaching, honey, you better check whether you've been saved or not. I can't go to church, I break out. I hope, bless God, you'll break out. I hope it'll break out all over you. The Holy Ghost I'm speaking of. It's what we need, amen? But the things that make me sick, I don't eat them. In fact, when I ate something that was bad one time, and I always loved it, but when I ate it, oh, I got sick, and I vomited. Man, I didn't want to eat that no more. I was done with eating that stuff. Are you with me? there's some things you ought not to be eating. You don't eat the world. You don't eat the things of the world. This pornography, drugs, alcohol, idle gossip, gambling. I could go on and on and on and on and on. You got to stay away from it. Friend, I'm telling you something. If you cannot control your actions on the internet and you want to say too much or you want to look at too much, get away from it. I'm telling you, and a lot of our homes, a lot of our marriages are being ruined because somebody met somebody on the Facebook. I've heard it and heard it and heard it until it's time to get in the pulpit and say, hey, if you can't handle it, get away from it. You need to learn to flirt with your wife, sir. You need to learn to flirt with your husband, ma'am. Not everybody else's husbands or wives. I'm telling you, her husband won't listen to me. I'm telling you what, sir, you better pay attention to that. My wife won't listen to me, ma'am. You better listen to that. Because they'll get on the Facebook and they'll find somebody that will. And all it is a devil's counterfeit for a relationship. It's not just against Facebook. It's against all this junk in general. I'm telling you, you need to learn to shun distractions. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I told this illustration before, but the ring-tailed monkey is the hardest monkey to catch, but he's a delicacy. They love to eat him. The Zulus chase him. And they found that he likes melon seeds. So they'll take a melon and hew it out and leave the seeds inside. And the monkey comes sneaking up and sees the hole in the melon, puts his hand in there, grabs the seeds, but the opening's not wide enough and he can't get his hand back out. So the Zulus approach him, ready to entrap him, and he'd rather be caught and killed than turn loose of the melon seeds. I'm telling you, your addiction and the things of this world's going to get you spiritually killed. Lust bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You need to, how am I going to develop, how am I going to acquire and advance my appetite for the things of God? Study the Word. Come to the house of God and shun distractions. Get away from the things that you ought not to be eating. Learn to be in supplication. What does that mean? Learn to pray. Hey, if you'll learn to pray and seek God's face, prayer will develop an appetite for righteousness. And it draws us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. What about our service? You realize this? That it is observed that as you work, you develop a more healthy appetite. You know what Grandpa said to me? He told me this, and there's a lot of reasons Grandpa doesn't have an appetite anymore. But this is what he said. He said, son, I'm unable to work like I used to did, and I just don't have the appetite because I can't work. That's what he thought. Because I'm not working, I don't have an appetite. How are you doing for the Lord? Huh? Do you know why you don't have an appetite for the things of God? Because you're not working. You're not involved in the things of the Lord. I dare say, I played ball my whole life. If I decided to tell my coach, I'm gonna come to practice, one out of every three times, coach is gonna say you're off the team. What's the Lord think about it? Huh? What's the Lord think about it? We ought to be serving the Lord. Last of all, and I'm done, you stand to your feet. The Bible says he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's Psalm 107, verse 9. What about Psalm 68, 19? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. I thought about this over here in Isaiah. You may say, I can't afford. Isaiah 55, 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. God said he'll satisfy you and it won't cost you anything. As I close today, there was this couple, Tom and Mabel Wiley. They moved to Panama as missionaries, brought their children down there to Panama. When they got there, they had a little old hut. It was worse than a shack, with a thatched roof and a dirt floor. But Mabel Wiley said, you know what, this is what the Lord's called us to. It'll be all right. Tom was out preaching and souls were being saved. And every day the children would go out and play in the village and they would come back with leeches and insects attached to them. And Mabel Wiley, every day, she said, it was difficult to get those leeches and those insects off my children. And she said, they would cry and I would cry. She said, I'd take kerosene to get these insects to turn loose of the children. Can you imagine how hard it would be to watch your children? I'm talking about every day you're pulling insects off of them because of where you live. Every day you've got a dirt floor. Every day you've got a thatch roof that leaks. Mabel Wiley one night was overcome with emotion. She went outside and she said, God, all I ever asked you for was a beautiful home and a beautiful marriage. Is this it, Lord? Would you look? Look at what you blessed me with. Look at this thatched roof. Look at this dirt floor. Look at all these problems in my life. Look at my children with leeches and insects on them every day. Is this what I've asked for? And she just wept and cried and wept and cried. And God came and spoke to her and said, you know, can you not live in a hut with a dirt floor after I died on a cross for you? Can you not suffer some things for me the way I've suffered for you? She said it run across her soul, peace like a river. She said, for the first time I started really hungering and thirsting for the things of God more than the things of the world, my home, my car, my satisfaction in worldly things, my bank account, my retirement account. I started getting satisfied in God. And she said, when I opened my eyes, my hut was a mansion. My mud hut was a mansion. Friend, I'm telling you today, God's been good to us. More than we could ever deserve. But He made us a promise, didn't He? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God and filled with the things of God, satisfied as only God can do it. Now you're standing to your feet, nobody's looking, you bow your head. God's been working here today. I wonder if someone come to the piano and you'd play. I wonder if there'd be somebody here to say, preacher, I tell you what, I don't have a thatched roof and a mud hut, but I've been looking to have my appetite satisfied in jobs and careers and bank accounts, and my appetite ought to be the things of God. And I need to advance, I need to acquire, I need to develop my appetite for the things of God. Preacher, I want to see my little Sunday school class. I want to see them youngins fill this room up. I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for the things of God in my family, in my daughter, in my son. I'm hungry for that in my home, in my marriage. I'm hungry for that for my wife, for my husband. I'm hungry for that for my wanna class. I'm hungry for that for this choir. I'm hungry for that from my family ministry that I serve in. I want the things of God.